Roebuck, Marcus Taylor, and Ashley Franco are investment advisor representatives of, and security and advisory services are offered through USA Financial Securities, member FINRA SIPC, a registered investment advisor located at 6020 East Fulton Street, Ada, Michigan, 49301. Milestone Financial Group is not affiliated with USA Financial Securities. The strategies and concepts discussed are for educational purposes only and do not represent specific investment, tax, or estate planning advice. Investing carries an inherent element of risk, and there is no guarantee of financial success or specific investment results. Results may vary based on individual circumstances. It is in everyone's best interest to consult a tax, legal, or investment professional depending on their unique situations.
And it is time for Building Rural Wealth, and we have with us this morning Amy Shipley. Amy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Aaron?
I'm wonderful. How was your weekend?
Hey, it was fabulous. You know what? There's a new resident in Red Oak, Iowa, and it's my mom, Sandy Johnson.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Welcome, Mom.
Welcome, Sandy Johnson, Mom.
Yeah. So I was moving this weekend.
Oh, wow.
Moving, Mom.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good thing.
Well,
Moving sometimes is not the most fun, but, you know.
Yeah, you discover treasures that they've kept in the house for
Is that
many,
the way you
years,
refer to those treasures?
Sure. Yeah. I refer to them as treasures.
Yes. Very good. So you had a busy weekend.
We did. Yeah.
All
yeah.
Right.
She's
but a
at
good
Regency
weekend.
Now.
Well, good
yeah,
deal.
Nice
well, welcome,
place.
Sandy.
Thanks.
Caleb Roebuck with me. How are you, Caleb?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing good. I'm doing well.
How was your weekend?
It was good. No moving for me, but a little little yard work, a little playing outside with the kids, a little fishing. So it's
oh,
pretty good
luck?
Weekend as well.
Happy
yeah.
luck?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, caught 12 bass on Sunday morning.
Did you see a photo of this, Amy?
I did not.
I didn't either.
Uh-uh.
So I know how fishermen are. Look, he's going for his phone.
I got him.
For his phone here.
I mean.
Look at him.
People were telling me they hadn't seen me fishing too much lately, so I had to like get out there.
You caught 12 bass Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Good for you. You had a good weekend. It was nice Sunday morning.
Huh.
Look at that.
Yeah. I mean, I still know how to do it. I hadn't gone and caught a fish all year, and my wife was giving me heck because I've been golfing or doing other stuff this summer, and I was like, oh, I had to get out there and prove I still can. So.
All right, I love it. Hey, when was the last time you had a root beer float?
It's been a while for me. I know I saw him bring that in. That's quite the treat this morning.
I have a root beer float
nice.
Right here. Thanks to Tim.
Yummy.
Yeah,
breakfast of champions.
You bet,
root beer
right
float.
There. I love
it's
it.
It's like the
I
breakfast my kids eat. Like,
yeah. I love it. All right, building rural wealth. Let's talk about Milestone Financial. When Roth conversions make sense and when they don't. This is a tough one for me. Okay,
sure.
Amy, start
yeah,
me off.
I mean, Roth conversions, you hear about that, don't
yep,
you?
Yep.
If you've read anything or you've watched any shows about finances, you've probably heard people talk about Roth conversions. Do you need to do one? And, you know, that might sound like everybody should be converting everything they have into a Roth IRA, but that's not always true. So for some people, a Roth conversion can be one of the smartest tax strategies available. But for others, it can really trigger a large tax bill without providing a lot of benefit. So today, we're going to tackle some of the biggest myths surrounding Roth conversions and explain when they make sense, and just as importantly, when they don't. And also, we're not tax professionals, so please consult your tax professional
yes.
for specific advice.
Okay. So let's start at the very beginning, Caleb. What is a Roth conversion?
Yeah, for people that don't know, what a Roth conversion is that's when you move money from your already established traditional pre-tax IRA or another pre-tax retirement account, like you can do this in a 401k as well too, into your Roth IRA. And what that does is that triggers a taxable event that because the money that you convert was taxable or you put it in there pre-tax in your traditional IRA or your 401k, and then as you convert it, that sum is taxable to you in the form of, you know, current year income. So, but for that trade-off and that paying taxes now, you get that tax-free growth and that tax-free withdrawals later in that Roth IRA, like your other contributions have. So it's a way for clients or for people to, you know, systematically or accelerate though from moving from that pre-tax to that Roth contribution. Because for your IRAs, for your pre-tax IRAs, at some point out there, those required minimum distributions that we've talked about for 72 to 75, at age 72 or 75, hit for people. So myth number one is a Roth conversion eliminates taxes. You know, a Roth conversion does not magically erase taxes. It just changes the timing of it. And because sometimes paying the taxes you save money over your lifetime, sometimes paying them today can actually cost you more. So, you know, doing that Roth conversion doesn't make taxes disappear. It's deciding when you pay them. Because when you do a Roth conversion, you're paying the taxes in that current year.
Taxes are going to occur.
Yeah. So I say, like, hypothetical, if you got a $100,000 IRA and it sounds good, hey, I can get tax-free growth and convert it. That's true, but in that year that you convert it, it's like you made an extra $100,000 if you converted that full balance and you're paying taxes
and
on
there,
that.
There will be tax implications with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is what Amy says. You know, you definitely need to check with your tax person, but also, you know, it is a longer-term planning thing, so it's kind of, you know, that area between, again, taxes that I'm paying today, working with your tax person, but what is that longer-term benefit as well?
Okay. So what tax bracket am I in, Amy?
I don't know. What are you in a high tax bracket, Aaron?
I don't know about that.
Yep. So everybody is in what they call a tax bracket, and those are income based. Mm-hmm. So just imagine that maybe there's two retirees. One just left work and hasn't started their Social Security yet. So their taxable income would be relatively low, right?
Yes.
And that would be a good time to do a Roth conversion because, like Caleb said, when you do a Roth conversion, it's adding to your taxable income. So someone that's in a lower tax bracket, that is probably a better time to do a Roth conversion.
Okay.
But if you think of somebody that's on the other end of the spectrum, still earning a substantial salary, still working, maybe at the end of their career in a higher tax bracket, if they chose to convert, say, that $100,000, it could push them into a much higher tax bracket. Mm-hmm. So it'd really be kind of a detrimental thing for them to do a Roth conversion. So really, you know, the exact same strategy with two different scenarios produces a lot of different results.
Okay.
And so that brings us to myth number two, which is everyone should do a Roth conversion. So no, not everyone.
Not the case.
Yeah, right. It just depends on your time, your situation. Some people, yes, absolutely should. Others probably shouldn't. And a lot of people kind of fall in between. The right answer depends on your income, your tax situation, and your long-term plan.
Okay.
And we do a lot of conversations with people about where they're at, what might be a good time.
You really want to take a full assessment of where you're at before you make that decision, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, before you.
Well, and when it comes to taxes, Amy mentioned like the kind of keyword, relatively low. Are you in a relatively low or relatively high? You know, most people that, you know, work and pay taxes, we all say we pay too much taxes. We all think we're in a high one. But again, there are brackets in upper and lower scale. So it is kind of about, yeah, understanding where are you actually currently at and then where do you think that'll be. But yeah, it's not a cut and dry decision for everybody.
Okay, look into the future a little bit here. Will future taxes likely be higher?
So, and that's the big question, the hard part that I don't have the crystal ball to or nobody does, but this is, you know, to us why you do that planning, why you look at these things and kind of weigh those trade-offs because, you know, it does come down to what do you expect your future taxes and the government, you know, just the tax code to look like in the future. And many people assume that they'll automatically be in a lower tax bracket after retirement. I'm no longer working. I'm no longer drawing a salary. Maybe I'm just living off my Social Security and investments, you know. But, you know, people automatically think they'd be in a lower one. Sometimes that's true. Sometimes that's mm-hmm. not, you know, and especially a lot of the clients we see that do this planning and stuff too. Because think about it too, of like just from retirement planning, you don't want to live on a lower standard of income in retirement than while you're working. You want to try to at least live and maintain while taking that inflation into account. But, you know, things also happen too. You know, maybe you have a pension or both you and your spouse have a pension. Maybe you have required minimum distributions that eventually force large withdrawals. You know, maybe a spouse passes away and that surviving spouse files as a single filer, which generally makes their taxes go up.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you have significant investment income from farm income, pension income, maybe inheritance as you age. You know, these are all things that can drive your income up above maybe what you expected 20, 30, 40 years ago when you were, you know, putting some of this money away. So those factors, you know, keep those tax rates surprisingly high. You know, in those situations, paying taxes today at a known rate may actually save money over time. You know, but if your income in retirement will be much lower than it is today, you know, waiting may make sense. And that's kind of how I phrase it. It's, hey, with those Roth conversions they're putting money in, you're paying money today at a known rate versus an unknown rate. And part of it's your income and things like that, but part of it is too just the fiscal health of, you know, the government and things like that too. Of some of that worry is, you know, as the government has larger debts, will we need to raise tax and stuff? Now, the trend with that has been, though, and we've talked about this with clients, you know, taxes have actually gone down in recent years with, you know, Iowa state taxes eliminating on pension income, retirement income, you know, some of the Trump tax cuts, which is good things for retirees. But then that begs the question, again, longer term for, you know, another group of savers, when do these Roth conversions make sense in that time frame?
Yeah, there's a lot to consider there. So answer this for me, Caleb. Myth number three, taxes are definitely going up, so everyone should convert now. Make a call right now and do that. Talk about that.
Well, I just highlighted, you know, my whole career, you know, there's been talk about the deficit and worry, but over that time, tax rates have actually gone down. If you look at historical tax rates, they've gone down. So that's not actually the case, which has been good for retirees, savers, mm-hmm. investors. So, you know, no one knows exactly what Congress is going to do in the future.
No.
Yeah, come exactly. On. Yeah. Well, and what you see too is, you know, they raise some things, they lower some things, yeah. But where is it? And it kind of really depends on, back to the individual, what's your income? The higher your income, there are more tax triggers kind of in the tax code. But there can be tax law changes. There can be administration changes. So, you know, your own income can change too. You know, we mentioned all those other sources, inheritance, business. You know, so making Roth conversions because of, you know, headlines isn't a strategy. That's where it is tying, you know, hey, working with your current tax professional, but also working with your financial planner of what's your kind of life path being, but then what's the, you know, tax regime that we think is gonna follow that too.
Okay.
And like part of this, what we talk about clients is just like you talk about diversification in like your investments, don't own too many stocks, own bonds. It's kind of the same thing with your retirement tax planning. Hey, you want different bucks these because you don't know, some pre-tax, some Roth, but this conversion strategy is just, hey, at what scale and how fast do you do some of these things?
Okay. Amy, can I pay the tax without using retirement assets?
Well, that's a question that people often overlook. How will I pay the tax bill? So suppose you convert $150,000. Well, that's wonderful, but then you use part of that retirement account to pay the taxes, and you've reduced the amount that remains invested. And so in many situations, it's more efficient to pay the taxes from savings that you have outside of the retirement account, if that's possible. Mm-hmm. And if paying the tax creates financial stress or requires borrowing or significantly disrupts your cash flow, then a conversion might not make sense. So good tax planning shouldn't create bad financial planning. Which brings us to myth number four. If I'm going to convert, I should convert everything. Well, not necessarily. In fact, many successful Roth strategies happen gradually over time. Maybe you convert just enough each year to stay within your current tax bracket. Maybe you spread conversions out over 5 to 10 years. Planning isn't always about making the biggest move, but sometimes it's about making a series of smaller, more efficient decisions.
Okay.
Well, one thing I'll add with that, you know, there's a couple other tricks in the tax law that can trip people up. You know, Amy mentioned, you know, retirees doing this, but Roth conversions are a strategy that people do while they're still working. But, you know, if you're young like all of us in this room and under 59 and a half, you know, that's that magic age for retirement account distribution. So, you know, if you're somebody that's under 59 and a half and looking at Roth conversions, you really need to make sure you know those rules and stuff because there can be a penalty for some of that tax if you use that conversion money. So
okay. That's
where we talk to clients. Hey, depending on your age and how you're doing it, there are logistical steps of how you need to do it that make it the most sense either. It's not just, you know, just the pure tax question.
All right. So, Caleb, some questions for you. Does this fit into my overall retirement income plan? Something you should ask, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we've kind of touched on them, but it shouldn't happen just in isolation. It shouldn't just be, okay, yeah, I'm moving this money from a taxable account to a tax-free account. Again, that sounds good on the surface, but there is more nuance in that. Because, you know, if you're a retiree and over 65, it can affect your Medicare premiums because it adds to taxable income. It can add to Social Security taxation. It could possibly, you know, reduce future required minimum distributions. You know, if legacy planning is part of your overall financial planning, giving your kids assets that they don't have to pay taxes on, Roth conversion strategy can be a great thing. But that's a legacy planning. Charitable giving is a great way. You know, so all these things kind of work together. There is no like one answer of, hey, just doing a Roth conversion is going to save me all these taxes or get this, because you don't know what the tax rate's going to be. So there are other factors that we like to point to clients of, hey, we want to do this for the taxes, but there's these other components that also make it worthwhile doing as well too.
Amy kind of touched on this one. Do I need to convert everything?
Yeah, that's another good question. You know, and oftentimes the answer is no. You know, sometimes converting smaller amounts over several years can create that better long-term outcome than doing one massive conversion, because then you can smooth that tax jump in 1 year. And we kind of put it as, you know, thinking up of filling up the tax bracket rather than spilling over one. You know, if you're in that 12%, 24% tax bracket, you want to fill all the way up till you go into the next one and not go over.
Right.
If you just do a massive conversion, you can go from the 12% bracket all the way up to the 24, you know, or higher.
Depending, yeah, for sure.
So again, something you want to kind of map out before you do it.
All right, so Caleb, once you tell me to do a Roth conversion, the decision is made. That's another myth, right?
Yeah, that is. But you know, a Roth conversion isn't something, you know, to us that you decide once. It's something that you evaluate every year. Again, if you're just going to do one big massive conversion and say, all right, I'm going to do it all at once and bite the tax bullet. But I guess, you know, the way we think about it is something to do over multi-year, and you want to evaluate it because year in, year out, your income changes, tax law changes, markets change, your retirement goals change,
Yeah. You
know. And so good planning, you know, what we think adapts along with that, you know. So an example we say with clients, hey, you got $100,000 in your, you know, IRA, you want to convert, let's do that. But we want to convert all that. Let's do it over a 10-year plan and how to do that. Doesn't mean every year you're converting $10,000 every year because their income's up. They work more overtime. They had a child, so they get more deductions or, you know, things like that that can make it go up and down.
A lot of what we've talked about over time is it's not necessarily a black and white answer or yes and no answer. Every case is individual, and you have to evaluate every case, right?
Yeah.
Whether it makes sense or not.
Well, and that's what we talk about. Part of planning is, hey, it's not this big, you know, set in stone plan,
right?
You know, and your advisor doesn't give it to you and say, all right, here, good luck and go execute. Your advisor's kind of there and say, hey, this is the plan, but these are the adjustments that we need to make along the way year in and year out. But it's all moving in this common direction that as the client is in line with their goals, and taxes and that are a big part of that. But yeah, you see a lot of videos on these Roth conversions and stuff too, but there's a lot of tricks that, yeah, if you do a massive conversion, there can be a surprise tax bill. If you're under 59.5 and convert it and withhold the taxes, you know, from that conversion, you can incur a 10% penalty on things like that too. So there's all sorts of rule stipulations, but yeah, you do want to coordinate all that stuff too.
All right. Again, Caleb Roebuck with us and Amy Shipley from Milestone Financial, Building Rural Wealth. Wrap it all up for me, Amy.
Sure. Well, just like Caleb mentioned, you know, a Roth conversion isn't something that you do in a vacuum. It's something that you do after you've discussed it with your tax professional and your financial professional because of all the different little idiosyncrasies that go around it with taxes being one of the main ones. So we want to talk to you and understand your situation before you'd ever want to actually implement a plan for a Roth conversion. So if you've ever wondered about it and you think it might make sense, you know, please give us a call and talk to us at Milestone Financial Group, and we'd love to look at your total picture and help you, you know, guide your decisions along the way. Sometimes a Roth conversion makes sense, sometimes it doesn't. Like Caleb mentioned, there's so many variables that go into it. So we would love to have you reach out to us to help you make some decisions around that. And you can call us at 712-623-5726. Check out our website at milestonefinancialgroup.com.
Great information. Make it a great day.
Thank you.
Daniel Miller, Caleb Roebuck, Marcus Taylor, and Ashley Franco are investment advisor representatives of, and security and advisory services are offered through USA Financial Securities, member FINRA SIPC, a registered investment advisor located at 6020 East Fulton Street, Ada, Michigan, 49301. Milestone Financial Group is not affiliated with USA Financial Securities. The strategies and concepts discussed are for educational purposes only and do not represent specific investment, tax, or estate planning advice. Investing carries an inherent element of risk, and there is no guarantee of financial success or specific investment results. Results may vary based on individual circumstances. It is in everyone's best interest to consult a tax, legal, or investment professional depending on their unique situations. Special show dates and times this week at the